From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
VOI listener, wherever you are, how are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here's the news, first the headlines. Indonesia and Tanzania discuss improvement of bilateral relations. The visit of Emperor of Japan Naruhito strengthens relations between Indonesia and Japan. Leader of South Korea, Vietnam begin expanded summit session in Hanoi. And now the news in details. Indonesia and Tanzania discussed efforts to improve bilateral relations at the meeting between the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi and the Minister of Foreign Affairs and East African Cooperation of the Republic of Tanzania, Tergomena Lawrence Tax, in Jakarta on Thursday. Indonesia and Tanzania recorded a positive trend in trade relations between the two countries, which increased by 50% from 2019 to 2022, with a value of more than $340 million. According to Retno Marsudi, based on this momentum, Indonesia intends to export several other goods such as rubber tires, fertilizers, food, and beverages. In addition, Indonesia and Tanzania also agreed to explore the possibility of establishing a bilateral preferential trade agreement. Retno Marsudi added that the two countries also discussed efforts to increase Indonesia's investment in Tanzania and strengthen cooperation to strengthen health resilience. Meanwhile, in the development sector, Retno Marsudi said, Indonesia and Tanzania had implemented various development cooperation programs, including capacity building, food security training, trade investment, and education.
For this year and next year, we will continue to provide with similar programs in the field of agriculture, mining, and energy. In the long run, we seek to level up our cooperation, including by developing a country-specific cooperation plan on development cooperation.
In addition to these four issues, Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi and Minister of Foreign Affairs and East African Cooperation of the Republic of Tanzania, Stergomena Lawrence Tax, also discussed preparation for President Joko Widodo's visit to Tanzania this year and a possible visit by the Prime Minister of Tanzania to Indonesia. The two ministers hoped that this visit would result in concrete and meaningful cooperation that is beneficial to the people of the two countries. The next news, Japanese Emperor Naruhito paid a visit to the Ngayogyakarta Hadiningrat Palace on Wednesday afternoon. Naruhito again strengthened the relationship that had been forged by his father, the late Emperor Akihito. A gala dinner was organized by the host Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono X with Empress Gusti Kanjeng Ratu Hemas to welcome Emperor Naruhito. GKR Mengkubumi, the eldest daughter of Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono X, when speaking to the media, said that the palace gave a festive welcome, starting from the Baksan Lawang Ageng, Jajar dance performance, and also enlivened by the appearance of the Royal Orchestra and an exhibition of batik and palace heirlooms.
As usual, when we receive guests, especially from the Emperor of Japan, there was a dance called Lawung. Then he saw batik, keris, then shadow puppets. Yes, basically, he was very happy and continued the visit from his late parents.
Before the barricade at the palace, the 126th Emperor of Japan visited the Sabo Technical Center in the Merapi area, Sleman. Naruhito visit was welcomed by Minister of Public Works and Public Housing Basuki Haji Mulyono when visiting Sabo da Merapi. Naruhito seemed to show his interest in preserving water resources. During a visit to the Ngayogyakarta Hadiningrat Palace, Emperor Naruhito had a friendly discussion with the Sultan until 8:30 p.m. local time. Emperor Naruhito's entourage also took the time to visit Borobudur Temple in Magelang, Central Java, on Thursday morning before heading back to Japan. The next news. Indonesia Trade Minister is exploring opportunities for trade cooperation with a number of countries and regions to expand the export market for domestic products. The Ministry's Director General of International Trade Negotiation, Yatmiko Briswijaksono, said the trade exploration has been made with these countries because they have the potential to improve the performance of Indonesian exports in the future. The process of completing the trade cooperation with the countries and regions will require a long time. However, he expects that some forms of the cooperation can be agreed upon within the next 5 to 10 years. This cooperation will encompass a number of trade cooperation concepts, such as free trade agreement, preferential trade agreement, and comprehensive economic partnership agreement. The next news. Indonesia Minister of Trade is strengthening coordination with relevant institutions and ministries to anticipate the impact of El Nino phenomenon, which could cause an extreme dry season in Indonesia. Deputy Minister of Trade Jerry Sambuaga emphasized in Jakarta on Thursday that the coordination between ministries and institutions is a part of efforts to ensure that the extreme dry season does not affect other sectors. According to Jerry Sambuaga, the government will work to ensure the availability of supplies, especially of essential staple goods. He added that so far, the Ministry of Trade continues to monitor the supply as well as price of essentials, staple goods in markets in several regions of Indonesia. The supplies of essential staple goods are safe and sufficient. The government has been asked to raise vigilance for facing an extreme dry season, which has been predicted from July to August, considering that it could affect the domestic food production sector. The next news. The Indonesian Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Ministry has affirmed its commitment to pursuing blue economy through the sustainable utilization of the marine and fisheries ecosystem. Acting head of the Data Statistics and Information Center of the ministry, Aulia Reza Farhan, said during a discussion in Jakarta on Thursday that some of the ministry's program for achieving a blue economy in the maritime and fisheries sector range from expanding marine conservation to protecting carbon supply and biodiversity, improving regional quality and involving people in maintenance and monitoring. The ministry is also implementing a program for developing commodity-based sustainable marine, coastal, and land cultivation, which is oriented towards exports and domestic needs so as to ensure food resilience is maintained. The management and monitoring coastal and lands based on environmental sustainability are being conducted by improving the regulations on regional protection as well as space allocation ecosystems. The next news, a deep sea submersible carrying 5 people on a voyage to century-old wreck of the Titanic was found in pieces from a catastrophic implosion that killed everyone aboard, the U.S. Coast Guard said on Thursday, June 22nd, ending a multinational 5-day search for the vessel. U.S. Coast Guard Rear Admiral John Mauger told reporters a robotic diving vehicle deployed from a Canadian ship discovered a debris field from the submersible Titan on Thursday morning in a remote corner of the North Atlantic. The Titan, operated by the U.S.-based company OceanGate Expeditions, had been missing since it lost contact with the service support ship on Sunday morning about an hour 45 minutes into what should have been a two-hour dive to the world's most famous shipwreck. Even before the Coast Guard's press conference, OceanGate issued a statement saying there were no survivors among the 5 men aboard the Titan, including the company's founder and chief executive officer, Stockton Rush, who was piloting the Titan. And the final news, the leader of South Korea and Vietnam began an expanded session of their summit talks in Hanoi on Friday. According to the South Korean presidential office, President Yoon Suk-yeol, currently on a state visit to the country, and Vietnamese President Phu Van Thuong first held a 20-minute session accompanied by a select number of aides. Extended session reportedly began at around 9:36 a.m. The leaders are expected to focus on ways to further expand and develop bilateral relations in light of the elevation of ties by the two sides to a comprehensive strategic partnership late last year. And that's the news.
Ayong maju, ayong maju, ayong maju. commentary is on 5-point consensus in resolving the Myanmar crisis. The Thai government on June the 19th held a meeting regarding Myanmar, which was attended by representatives of some member countries of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, such as Brunei, Cambodia, Laos, Vietnam, the Philippines, and representatives of the Myanmar junta. Representatives from India and China were also present at the meeting. Meanwhile, other ASEAN members, including Indonesia, who assumed the chairmanship this year, as well as Malaysia and Singapore, refused to attend the meeting. Thailand's decision to push for an informal meeting with Myanmar's military junta outside of the ASEAN meeting drew criticism from many, including Thomas Andrews, the UN Special Rapporteur on the human rights situation in Myanmar. Thomas Andrews said the presence of representatives of the Myanmar junta at the meeting seemed to confirm that nothing had happened in the country. He considered that the meeting initiated by Thailand showed that the 5-point consensus agreed upon by ASEAN was deadlocked or not progressing. Therefore, according to him, it is time to consider alternative options to break the deadlock. In contrast to Thomas Andrews' assessment, the Indonesian government, through the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, stated that so far there has been progress in the implementation of the 5-point consensus, which was agreed upon by leaders of Asian countries to help resolve the crisis in Myanmar. The 5-point consensus called for a cessation of violence, dialogue with all stakeholders, and appointing a special envoy to facilitate mediation and dialogue. In addition, allowing ASEAN to provide humanitarian assistance to Myanmar citizens, as well as allowing ASEAN special envoys to visit and meet with stakeholders in Myanmar. Special staff of the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs for Regional Diplomacy, Murah Swajaya, said ASEAN under Indonesia's leadership this year achieved some progress in implementing the 5-point consensus. One of the progresses is the completion of a joint assessment of the humanitarian assistance needed by people affected by the conflict in Myanmar. According to Murah Swajaya, ASEAN has been able to map priority points for distributing aid to victims of the conflict in Myanmar. Meanwhile, regarding the process of encouraging inclusive dialogue, he explained that as chair of ASEAN, Indonesia had held more than 75 talks with all stakeholders in Myanmar. Indonesia has also made approaches with the military junta, which de facto rules in Myanmar. And the National Unity Government, or NUG, which is the Myanmar shadow government formed by the opposition to the junta. As stated by Ngurah Swajaya, ASEAN under the chairmanship of Indonesia continues to work hard and consistently so that the implementation of the 5-point consensus continues to move forward in resolving the crisis in Myanmar. The crisis in Myanmar is indeed very complex, cannot be resolved in a short time. In resolving this complex crisis, ASEAN under Indonesia's chairmanship chose not to take any other option but inclusive dialogue. This is based on the belief that resolving the crisis through inclusive dialogue is the only way to create lasting and sustainable peace in Myanmar. All parties are expected to believe in and support the inclusive dialogue option pursued by ASEAN under Indonesia's chairmanship in resolving the crisis in Myanmar. That was commentary today.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's 5 super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email
voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April the 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September the 11th, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11th, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared. Who knows, you become one of the winners.
From Indonesia to the world.
I'll start today in history with June the 23rd, 1784, Pekanbaru City founded. Pekanbaru is the capital city of Riau Province in Sumatra. The name Pekanbaru was formerly known as Senapelan, which at that time was led by a tribal chief called Batin. In the 16th century, Senapelan continued to develop into a new residential area, and over time it turned into Payung Sekaki Hamlet, which is located at the mouth of the Siaks River. Quoting pekanbaru.go.id, Senapelan became a stop for Dutch ships and played an important role in the trade traffic at that time. The development of Senapelan is very close to the kingdom of Siak Sri Indapura. Senapelan, which was later more popularly called Pekanbaru, was officially founded on June the 23rd, 1784 by Sultan Muhammad Ali Abdul Jalil Muazzam Shah under the reign of Sultan Yahya. Until now, June the 23rd is celebrated as the anniversary of Pekanbaru City. This year, Pekanbaru celebrates its 239th birthday with the theme Pekanbaru Moves to Grow with Dignity. Switching now to June the 23rd, 2011, the International Widows Day launched. The United Nations has been commemorating June the 23rd as International Widows Day since 2011, based on a resolution in 2011. International Widows Day is observed to pay attention to the voices and experiences of widows and support the achievement of rights and recognition for widows. Launching from the official UN website, the International Widows Day is also intended to provide information regarding access to a fair share of inheritance, land, and productive resources. In addition, the United Nations also asked the governments of each country to ensure that the rights of widows were fulfilled. Some of these wishes eventually became one of the reasons for International Widows Day. I'll end today in history with June the 23rd, 2012. Westlife officially disbands in Croke Park, Ireland. Westlife is a boy band from Ireland consisting of Shane Phelan, Brian McFadden, Kyan Egan, Nicky Byrne, and Mark Feely. Westlife was not only successful in Ireland and Great Britain. In the 2000s, the name Westlife was known throughout the world. They scored 40 number one singles between 1999 and 2005. Westlife was formed on July the 3rd, 1998 and disbanded on June the 23rd, 2012. In 2019, however, after a seven-year hiatus, Westlife decided to reunite and embark on a world tour titled Westlife The 20 Tour 2019. That was today in history.
Every time you are in trouble, I will always be there for you. Oh, how I love you so much. Even when you're gone, even when you love me no more, I don't care. Smile. Every time I look into your eyes, I know that I will always love you. For every word I say, for everything I do, darling,
listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today focuses on Indonesia revokes COVID-19 pandemic status. Indonesian President Joko Widodo on the Secretariat President YouTube channel announced the revocation of COVID-19 pandemic status in Indonesia on Wednesday. With this revocation, the President added Indonesia entered an endemic period. The President also mentioned three reasons of the status revocation. First, the decision was in line with the revocation of public health emergency of international concern status for COVID-19 by WHO, World Health Organization. Second, the daily confirmed COVID-19 cases in Indonesia is touching zero. Third, the sero survey result show 99% of Indonesians have the COVID-19 antibody. In the endemic period, President Jokowi reminded the people to stay on alert and to live healthily. He also hoped the status revocation will improve the national economy and the people's socio-economic life quality. It has been 3 years of COVID-19 pandemic in Indonesia. The first case in Indonesia was discovered on March 2, 2020. In the same year, President Jokowi officially declared COVID-19 as a national disaster. The latest data of COVID-19 task force show until June 21, 2023, there were 6,811,444 cases of COVID-19 in Indonesia. Some 161,853 people passed away from COVID-19. Responding to the pandemic situation, the Indonesian government has and keeps implementing the COVID-19 vaccination program. Some 234.6 million people were the target of vaccination. Until June 21, 2023, more than 203.8 million have got the first dose and 175 million got the second one. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Ini
tak lelahkan hatiku,
rasa ini
tak pernah padamkan rinduku.
Namun sebaliknya, rasa sayangku tercurahkan semua hanya untukmu. Sampai matiku, karena kesatu untukku.
Mata hatimu mengarah, please, baby jangan marah-marah. Cintaku takkan pernah berubah. Ku percaya nanti pasti akan berakhir indah. Pada waktunya, cuma kita berdua, dua hati satu cinta, saling menjaga. Ini lagu untukmu, cobalah kau dengarkan. Baby I love you till the end of time.
Baby oh,
you're the one for me, you're the one for me,
you're the one for me.
You're still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
In today's Indonesian Wonder, with the title Karandang Nature Tourism Port. Listener, as one of tourism destinations, Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara has various attractions, starting from the beauty of the beach, underwater wealth, cultural customs, sports tourism, mountains, to nature-based adventure tourism. For you who like nature-based adventure tourism, you have to visit the Karandang Nature Tourism Park. Within the Senggigi Tourism Village area in West Lombok, in this area, you can explore the forest area which total 396.10 hectares and enjoy the serene natural atmosphere. You can trace the path under the shade of tall shady trees, accompanied by the melodious chirping of birds. Listener, visiting Karandang Nature Tourism Park, Putri Kembar Waterfall, and Goa Wallet usually becomes one's main goal. The access to reach the tourism park is easy. You can take a walk along the path, a combination of paving and soil, for about 2 kilometers. The elevation is also not high, so swinging with friends or family will be a very fun activity. But for those who want to adventure farther, Karandang Nature Park has a tourism destination that is excellent for tourists, namely bird watching. Namely bird observation activities carried out in the wild or their natural habitat. Listener, there are several species of birds whose habitat is in Karandang Nature Tourism Park. Some of them are in the endangered category, such as the forest eagle. Apart from that, there is also the Celepuk Rinjani and the chocolate naked cekakak, both of which are near threatened. Apart from that, there are also kehicap twig, cekakak sungai, king blue shrimp, and many more. Totally, there are 56 species of birds that have been recorded in this area. This is what makes Karandang Nature Tourism Park increasingly popular as one of the preferred destinations for tourists in carrying out nature tourism activities, particularly for those who have a special interest or interest in animals. Apart from birds, the tourism park is also a home for a row of other animals, such as snakes and butterflies. There are 11 types of snakes, 3 of which are venomous. They bear vipers and cobras. For those of you who are interested in exploring nature at the tourism park, there are 4 packages. For foreign tourists, nature tour package are offered at a price from 3 million Indonesian rupiah to 5 million Indonesian rupiah. For local tourists, it is around 1 million rupiah to 3 million rupiah. And that's Indonesian Wonder.
Masalah selalu datang, lama. Andai waktu bisa terulang, ku kan mencoba berpikir
sebelumnya,
berharap
sedikitnya,
tersadar
sebelumku.
Oh, melihatku usahakan semua padanya, jemari menutup telinga, wajah berwarna merah,
kau tak bisa ku percaya.
Listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany.
Today's in Miscellany, we have Pajajaran University showcases 150 soy sauces from across Indonesia. Indonesia is rich of various spices and ingredients such as the traditional soy sauces. Pajajaran University in Bandung, West Java has attempted to preserve soy sauce by showcasing 150 soy sauce from across Indonesia. The exhibition's committee chair Hardian Eko Nurseto said the exhibition themed Pameran Kecap Nusantara Raja Lestari or Nusantara Soy Sauce Expo gave a different experience for the visitors to know deeper about the sweet and savory sauce. The exhibition also showcased archives and documents about soy sauce from the colonial era. There were also soy sauce tasting, documentary screening, discussion session, and cooking demo. The visitors could try 10 different types of soy sauces while learning about variations in consistency, color, and taste of each soy sauces. They could also see artifacts related to soy sauces from the 1930s to 1988. Exhibition's committee chair Hardian said many people are yet to realize that the soy sauce are diverse from each region. Therefore, this exhibition was an attempt to record and track its history. This exhibition is also exploring the history of soy sauce by studying Dutch documents starting from the 1898 era. And that was Miscellany.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April the 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September the 11th, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11th, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared, who knows, you become one of the winners.
From Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's Music Corner, I'm going to present a regional song from West Nusa Tenggara entitled Tutu Koda. The song contains advice and teachings to everybody to work hard. The song Tutu Koda narrates the life of a child who lived in a village and experiences hard life. Here is Elva Sesoria with the song Tutu Koda.
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
I know life is out there, and I know that I should be there. Yeah, I know, I know. Stuck in the projection of a virtual affection. Yeah, I know, I know.
You could say I'm dragging, but I show I'm just a poser with no flow. I'm just a loser, but I grow. Know that I hear ya, so shut up and go. 'Cause I don't mind.
No, I don't.
No, I don't mind. Ooh, no, I don't. No, I don't mind.
I don't mind.
No.
Talking about my life, but I keep walking. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
I know.
Still stuck in the projection of a virtual affection. Yeah, I know. I know. You could say I'm bragging, put on a show.
You could say I'm bragging, put on a show.
casual.
I'm just a poser with no flow.
I'm just a poser.
I'm just a loser, but I'll grow. Know that I hear ya, so shut up, shut up and go.
'Cause I don't mind.
No, I don't.
No, I don't mind.
VOI listener, now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.